Thank you, Lana and Lorna, for sharing that with us. I believe it's very important to have confidence in the Lord we serve. He is more than able. Praise His name this morning. How good it is to be home. We had the opportunity, as you know, this past week to be at Nipshin Camp, and Becky and I are coordinators for the district junior camp, I know I'm getting older. 77 kids will wear you out. But we had a great week at camp, and each night kids were at the altar praying. There's nothing like seeing children seeking God. Real tears, real desire, searching their life and what's happening, and it just stirs you when you're in that scenario. And just a couple things I wanted to share with you, because they just really stick with me. One young lady come to pray, and her counselors came out to pray with her and a few others, and we stepped up there to pray with them, and after I finished praying and looked up, I was surrounded by a sea of kids. I mean, it was just amazing. Stirs the heart. And one of the counselors came to me shortly after that and said, I wanted to pray for a particular kid that was in their room. And so me and him knelt down, and we was praying for this particular kid. And immediately I felt the press, and I do mean press, of kids behind us. I felt like I was being mooshed into the altar, but it was so amazing. There were so many kids that had gathered around us, and you could feel them and hear them praying for whatever the need was. And church, I tell you, it stirs your heart. I know the world says this and that, but I want you to know that there are still kids who are seeking God. And I think that's very important. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity that God has given. But as you know, there's no place like home. And it's good to be home. It's good to be back with every one of you, and just worshiping the Lord together. Have you ever wondered who you are and what you're doing, or at least supposed to be doing? I believe if we were all honest, we've probably all asked that question at some point, and probably should. I think we should question ourselves once in a while and wonder, who are we and what are we doing? I think that becomes very important in life to determine the next steps for our life and what God is doing through with us and what He'd like to do. Back in the 80s, Michael W. Smith wrote a song about this, and it was entitled My Place in This World. And some of you 80 kids would remember that song very clearly, and you hear it every now and then. But Rick Warren, the pastor of the Saddleback Church in California, wrote a book entitled The Purpose-Driven Life that was dealing with the question of who we are and what we're doing. And in the introduction of the book, it shares this. It says, "The search for the purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands of years. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose." And so anytime we ever question who we are or what we're to be doing, you always have to come back to the Lord. And we discover in Scripture, even the greatest leader in all of Israel's history asked the very same question. And we'll see that in our passage of Scripture today. But because of the culture that we are living in, I think it's very important that we never forget who we are and what we should be doing? Because unfortunately, many churches have forgotten who they are, and many Christians have forgotten who they are and who God is, and what is right and what is wrong. And as we know so clearly, what used to be black and white is more gray now. And truth is questioned, and feelings are more important than anything else. But I think it's very important for us as believers to know who we are and what we're to be doing. And so let's take our Bibles, if you would, this morning, turn over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 12 this morning. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the word this morning. And here we encounter one of Israel's greatest leaders, and we'll see this question arise as the Lord is sharing with none other than Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Join us in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, we ask once again, Lord, that you would come on the scene. And Lord, that you would move and work upon our hearts and minds this morning as we come to your word, and we kind of deal with this question of who we are and what we should be doing. We ask that your word would speak to us clearly this morning, and we would once again be reminded just who we are. And so, Lord, we need you to come. We need you to move upon us, and we ask, Lord, that you allow us to come under the anointing of the Spirit that allows for the preaching of the Word. And so, Lord, we just ask to be used of you. We thank you for your faithfulness and ask, Lord, for your will and your way to be accomplished. For we ask in your precious name, and amen. You may be seated this morning. As you think about Exodus chapter 3, and most of us are going to be very familiar, this is that passage where God is calling Moses to return to Egypt and to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And we have this encounter that God is sharing with Moses. And after God shares with Moses what he'd like for him to do, we find in verse 11 that Moses simply says, "Who am I that I should go?" And so we even see Israel's greatest leader, Moses, say to God, "Who am I that I should do that?" And I believe there's probably moments in our life that we might have said to the Lord, "Who am I that I should do this or that?" And it's just amazing how many people still struggle with who they are and what they are designed to do or their purpose in life. And so we just want to begin to share with you what Scripture says to us about who we are and a little bit about what we should be doing this morning, because I believe it's a very important question in the day that we're living to know who we are. And so we're going to deal with that question a little bit this morning. And the first thought that I want to share with you is that very question. Who are we? Well, we would find in Scripture several descriptions just who we are. The first we would find in Psalm 139, verse 14, and it says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." So if we ask that question this morning, who are we? Well, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so clearly this morning we must understand that we are important. So many people in our society today, and even some of the kids that we were praying with this past week, really struggled with the ideal that they were important and that somebody cared about them and that they were genuinely loved, I want you to know this morning that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are loved and cared for. You are important this morning to the Lord. I know sometimes we face circumstances and difficulties and we ask that question, why? But in that, know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made for a reason. You are made for a purpose. And I would tell the kids this, and I'm going to tell you this morning. God doesn't make junk. A lot of people really struggle with a self-esteem issue. And they tell themselves over and over and over again, I'm not important. I have no purpose. So on and so forth. That is a lie of the devil. God created you fearfully and wonderfully. Do we get that? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're not an afterthought or a mistake. It really disturbs me when mom and dad are, or at least think they're done having children, and then all of a sudden they have a surprise and they say, well, this is our mistake. That's not true. God created every one of us fearfully and wonderfully made. We are here for a reason and for a purpose. And God designed us who we are. How often do you really think about the fact that you are designed? There's an architect of your life, and he's called God. Designed you. Science and the world would tell us that we're a blob of cells that just come together. I disagree. We are designed specifically for a purpose. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist shares with us. We could talk to you about that all day. We also find over in John chapter 1, verse 12 this morning, as we ask that question, who are we? John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. If you name Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you are a child of God. We, as a collective group, are the children of God. I'll tell you, it doesn't get any better than that. I appreciate and love my mom and dad. They're important people in my life. They have helped shape me who I am. But to be the child of God is the greatest purpose in our heart and life. This concept of a child of God speaks to us that there's somebody in whom we can trust. There's somebody we can go to when we need help. When we're scared, we have somebody we can lean on. When things go wrong, we can go to them for help. And so on and so forth. Just like we do with our parents as children. We go to our parents as parents. Our children can come to us. It's the same concept. So if you ask the question this morning, who are we? We are children of God. And scripture would even say that we are a child of the King. That should be a powerful thought of comfort this morning in a very confused world. We live in a world today where they don't know the difference between a man and a woman. It disturbs me that we have a Supreme Court justice that can't even define what a woman is. But today, we know we are children of God, designed by an architect with purpose. We're not orphans today. We are a child of God. And that means so much. In my Sunday school class, we have been studying Revelation. And it talks to those who believe and are saved that they are kings and priests. And so a couple weeks ago, we talked about the very fact that we are royalty. Because you're a child of God, you are, in a sense, a prince or princess. That should put a smile on your face. All those days as a young girl wearing a tiara, pretending you were a princess, you had no idea that was the truth. We are children of God. Our Father is Creator. Church, it doesn't get much better than that. We also find over in Ephesians chapter 3 in verses 14 and 15 as we deal with this question, who are we? Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Not are we only fearfully and wonderfully made, not only are we children of God, but we are a family. The church here at Dover Hill, we are a family. And the truth is, with every other church that believes biblically and preaches salvation through the blood of Christ, is family. We are family. So many people ask the question, well, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Where do I go? I'll tell you where you go. You go to the church, not the building, but the body of Christ, because we're family. In this family, the church, the body of Christ, every one of us has a place and has a purpose. Family, there's none of us that are outcasts. Why? Because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We are designed. We are God's children. And when we come together corporately, we are the family, the body of Christ, the church. That's who we are. And when I think about who we are and the very fact that we are designed for a purpose, that we've been adopted into the family of God and we've become His children, I can't help but think about Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And it shares with us, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." I've talked about Abba I don't know how many times. But it's just, when you think about the fact that God designed us and that God put us together just the way He wanted, for a very particular purpose, to worship and to serve and to be part of the family of God, you can't help but go to Abba. And I know I've shared this, but it's so powerful. Abba simply means Papa God. Think about that for a moment. The very God who created us, the very God who calls us His children, the very God who says we are family, the very God who put the stars in their place and brought order from chaos and created everything we know and everything we don't know, says to us, "I am your Papa." I think we got to get a hold of that. He's our papa. Not just every father in the world is a papa. Because when you associate a father with papa, it means an entirely different thing. And God says, I'm your papa. You're my child. I love you. I care about you. This is where you belong with me. I don't know about you, but that's powerful stuff. Truth is, that is who we are. And we should be who we are. And so I believe, since we have a brief understanding of who we are, it really brings us to a very important question. Because we recognize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We recognize this morning that we are the children of God. And we recognize that we are the family of God. You can't help but wonder, if that's who we are, then what are we doing? What should we be doing? I think it brings a lot of questions really to our heart and mind. And so briefly, I want to share with you in regard to not only who we are, but what are we doing? And so I would say to us this morning, hopefully, recognizing who we are, that we are living for the Lord and we are reaching the unsaved. Because Scripture shares with us that as children of God, that we should live a particular way and that we have a very important mission. And that is to reach the lost, the unsaved. And so hopefully we're doing that. And so I want us to think about this for a few minutes based on the thought of that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are the children of God, and that we are a family. And so because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, what are we doing? We are to worship God. We're made by God. We're created by God. He is the creator. Because he is the creator, we are to worship him. When you come to Scripture, the ultimate purpose of creation was for the very reason of worship. I mean, that is the ultimate purpose in the life of every human that comes into this world. Now, we have more than just one overlaying purpose, of course, but the ultimate purpose is we were created to worship. And because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, we are to worship God. Not only in the sanctuary, and I hope that we do. I think it's important that we come and gather together as the body of Christ and worship the Lord. That's very important. Scripture talks about that we shouldn't forsake the gathering of ourselves together for worship, and there really isn't anything like that. But gathering ourselves together isn't the only way we worship God, but we worship God. We should be worshiping God truthfully every moment of our life, not just when we're in church, but when we're at home, when we're driving down the road, when we're at work, whatever we're doing, there should be a sense of worship and awe because of who He is. And so because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, created by God, we are to worship God. And we should be doing so every moment of our life in some form or fashion. Also, because we are children of God, we should live like it. Because we are children of God, we should live like it. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 shares with us that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If we're children of God, we should live like children of God. In humanity, we talk about DNA. DNA honestly determines who we are. It determines if we're going to have brown hair or red hair or blonde hair. It determines if we're going to have brown eyes, blue eyes, gray eyes, hazel eyes. And it also determines if we're going to be tall or short, or skinny, or well-pleasing. That's the gentle word for chunky. Anyway, DNA determines all that. Believe it or not, even DNA determines somewhat of our personality. Not that we can't change things, but the truth is, DNA determines who we are. In our culture today, people can say whatever they want to say, but DNA is always going to determine who they really are. Now, when I pass from this world, whenever that is, and they put me in the ground or cremate me and put me in a jar, if they was able to do a DNA test, they would be able to know things about me. If they had my dad and mom's DNA, they don't even need to meet them. They would be able to determine this is their child. And so on and so forth. You can't escape that. I want us to grasp this morning as children of God, there is a spiritual DNA that should determine who we are and what we are doing. We are to do godly things. And we're to live a life that reflects the image of God. We're to think godly, talk godly, live godly. And so that when people see us and know us, because of our spiritual DNA, they will know that we are the children of God. And so because we're the children of God, we should live like children of God. And then we come to this concept of the family. Because we are the church, because we are a family, we here at Dover Hill say that we are a healthy church serving Christ and a hurting world. If you want to say that's our family motto, that's our family crest. If you research your history and your genealogy, you could track it back far enough to find out where you originated from, and you can look up your family crest and it'll have a certain picture and it determines who you are. If you go back there far enough in the Schlegel family, that our Schlegel crest would have sledgehammers on it, cross sledgehammers on a shield. I think it's kind of neat. I do have a few people that call me Sledgehammer, and that's kind of neat. I like that. Anyway. If Dover Hill Church had a family crest, it would have a cross on it, no doubt. But inscribed on it would be a healthy church serving Christ and a hurting world. That's who we say we are. That's Dover Hill's DNA. And if we think about that long enough, one of those questions have to come up. Well, if that's who we are, and that's what we say we do, we have to ask ourselves, how do we do that? How do we accomplish that? How do we, at Dover Hill, as a family, become a healthy church that's serving Christ in a hurting world? We have a solution of how we do that, because this is part of our DNA. And I want it to be so much part of our DNA that it's just simply how we do things. It's what we do. It's what we think. It's how we accomplished everything in the church. And I believe you know what it is. We pray. Because that's who we are. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We are children of God. We are a family. And so we pray for one another. Dean challenged us early in the service this week to look around and find a couple people and be praying for them. But this is a both and statement. This is about church family. And this is also about the unsaved. And so not only are we praying for our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're praying for people who are not part of the family, that they will become part of the family. Because that's who we are. That's what we do. But not only do we pray for them, we also care about them. We care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when they're going through circumstances, we pray for them, of course, but we show that we care. We demonstrate in some form or fashion that we care. Not just for the family, but for those that are outside the family, so that they'll become part of the family. Because you know what? Those people who are outside the Dover Hill Church family, they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has created them for a purpose. And yes, they're a child of God. They may not be in the family at the moment, but they're a child of God. And so we pray for them. We care for them. In the family, outside the family. Not only do we care for them, but we share with them. There is nothing that screams, I care about you more than spending time with family. Not just our biological family, but our church family. Tonight we have the opportunity of good fellowship. We call it dinner and devotions because we're gonna have a good meal. We're gonna spend some time fellowshipping together. Mark Weiss is gonna be with us and he's gonna sing. We have an opportunity to share together as the family of Christ, the body of believers. But not only do we share with our family, we also spend time with those who are not part of the family so that they'll become part of the family. It's our DNA. It's who we are. Not only do we share with family and not family, but we empower family. We seem to get prayer and care and share much easier than we get this concept of empower. You know, when you pat somebody on the back and say, you know what, you've done an excellent job, that's empowerment. Or when somebody's struggling with doing something, you pat them on the back and say, you know what, I believe you can handle this. I believe you can do this. That's empowerment. That's within the family. And of course, that's outside the family. We empower people. We help them come closer to Christ so that they'll become part of the family. And so because we're a family, because we're a church, because we're the body of believers, because it's simply our spiritual DNA, this is who we are. When my kids were little, man, they've grown quick. Just in a conversation this week, that, you know, it just seems like a couple weekends ago that mystery came into our life, and now they're all gone. You know, well, they're not gone, but they're out of the house. Kind of, sort of. Out of the house, back in the house, out of, anyway, you know what that is. Anyway, but they would say, "Dad, why do we do this?" And I would respond to them, "Because that's who we are." I was probably asked 1,000 times, "Why do we go to church? Why do we do this? Why do we pray? Why do we read the Bible? Why can't we do this when other people are doing that? What is all..." We always come back, "Because this is who we are." Church, it's vitally important that we never forget who we are. Because about the time we forget who we are, we'll find ourselves in compromising places and positions, and we'll find that we're doing things we never dreamed we would do, personally and as a church. Who we are matters. And who we are is why we do the things we do. And it becomes very important, this thing of our spiritual DNA. It defines us. And I hope this morning we have little question about who we are. And so as we come to a close, you have a sense this morning of who you are. The next step would simply be, what will you do with who you are? What will you do with who you are? Because who you are is going to find your next step. Let's stand together this morning. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you once again this morning, we are so thankful that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We rejoice today that we are children of yours. We are thankful for the family that you have created and placed us in. Yet, Lord, there's sometimes we struggle with who we are. But Lord, help us to understand how important it is to know who we are, because Lord, you know who we are determines who we'll be and what we're going to do. And so Lord, we need your help. Help us this morning to clearly know who we are, what we stand for, and why we stand for it. And help us, Lord, to take the next step. And whatever it is that you have for us. Because we know this morning you designed us for a purpose. And Lord, I know there's moments in our lives where we step back and we say, "Who am I, Lord, to do this or do that?" Help us, Lord. to do and be exactly what you've designed us to be. We ask in your precious name. And amen.